The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Patriots. Everyone's writing off the Patriots. I wouldn't be too quick to do it. So much to get to. I can't even start with the NFL. I can't even start with Kyler Murray and how he and DeAndre Hopkins just hooked up in one of the plays you will remember. That's one of those plays you'll remember it for years and years. I can't even talk about Josh Allen and it was close but no cigar. Oh, he's an MVP. Maybe not. I can't even talk about Carson Wentz doing exactly what I told you he'd do or the Giants coming on. There's so much to get into. Tom Brady bouncing back. Drew Brees' injury. So much just happened yesterday. I gotta start with Chris Paul heading to Phoenix. What? Be a part of Max Kellerman Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN. ESPN Nation's presented by Dr. Pepper. It's official. College football's back. So is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving college football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you to treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. First, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. CP3 to Phoenix? Let me explain something. Phoenix was 8-0 in the bubble. Dudes didn't lose. It wasn't enough for the playoffs, but they didn't lose. And Devin Booker took a step forward. You know, was Devin Booker an empty calorie kind of stat stuffer on a bad team? Nope. It's hard to tell early in some guy's career when it could go either way because we have a tendency to stereotype players. Guy who needs the ball, scores a lot, on a bad team, has big numbers, but the team doesn't seem to be getting better. It's easy, but you know, like, players get better over time. He's very young. And he turned into a guy doing all those things in the service of winning games. Now, DeAndre Ayton's the number one overall pick, and he's like already a 20-ish and 10 guy. More than 10, really. But does he fit in the modern NBA? Does he have the right motor? All that kind of stuff. Like, we'll see. But DeAndre Ayton's a valuable player. Whatever you want to say about DeAndre Ayton, he's not an all-star, but could he be easily, given his age, size, and skills already? Like, if DeAndre Ayton never gets any better, he's a good NBA player. That's the number one overall pick. And that's not even really what's on my mind right now, because we all know Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton. Do you know the supporting cast right now of the Phoenix Suns? They somehow managed to bring Chris Paul in. They didn't give up anything they need. Nothing. Chris Paul and Devin Booker are in your backcourt in Phoenix now. That's just about perfect. It is the, not just prototypical, but it's like the platonic ideal of a point guard in Chris Paul. He defends, he leads. The ball doesn't need to stick with him, but he can, clearly he can monopolize the ball if that's what you need him to do. He has a great sense of what his team needs from him. He can really shoot. He can drive and kick. He can finish in the paint. What do you need from Chris Paul? That's your point guard, okay? Devin Booker is the ideal two guard, really. When you think of like if I could just have a two guard like this, it's Devin Booker. But here's the thing. Two guys you don't really think about or don't get the same press because they're not as good as the others. Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson. Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson. That's like legit three. Let's start with Mikal Bridges. His shot's been up and down, right? But he's a 3-and-D guy. You know, coming into the league, like, yeah, that guy's going to be good doing that at the next level. And he is already. And again, like, he's been up and down, but now it's the trajectory is up again. And Cam Johnson, you want to talk about a guy who can shoot and defend. So if you have guys like Chris Paul and Devin Booker, who can be ball dominant, right? What do you want next to them? You want, like, upper echelon 3-and-D guys. Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson, given their age, their trajectory, etc., both project as potential elite 3-and-D guys. Okay, to go with Chris Paul and Devin Booker. In fact, the biggest question mark in your starting five is the number one overall draft pick, who's already good. DeAndre Ayton's really the question mark. Like, what are you going to get from him? What does he eventually become for the Phoenix Suns? And by the way, Dario Saric, this dude can shoot. He can't defend, but he can shoot and is one of those, like, big Eastern European passing savant guys. Like, he'll make any lineup better with his passing and his shooting, but especially the passing. Any lineup in the NBA, if you put him in, will be a more effective offensive unit. Not a defender, obviously. Which is why he doesn't start on this team. But, like, when one of those 3-and-D guys comes out and Dario comes in, your offense may even work a little better. And it's already going to be clicking. And Ayton really benefits from having that kind of passing and that kind of floor spacing next to him. And that dude's coming off the bench. That 8-0 Phoenix Suns bubble team just got a lot better. By the way, they trimmed the fat. They didn't even take a single above-average player off the team in acquiring Chris Paul, who's thirsty for a title. I love this trade for the Suns. And when you look at the Western Conference, the Lakers, obviously, the Clippers, the Warriors, when those guys get healthy, assuming that they're the same, the Nuggets, I wouldn't put anyone else ahead of the Suns. Utah? No, I don't think I put Utah ahead of the Suns. Not on paper. I like teams where all the pieces fit. Again, the biggest question mark is the number one overall pick who's already averaging close to 20 and over 10 rebounds a game and is already a good player. The question is, can he be a franchise player? But all the other parts? The ideal one, the ideal two, and two ideal ascending 3-and-D complementary pieces with a sixth man who's ideal for your offense? Who else? The Lakers? The Nuggets? The Warriors? The Clippers? Who else would you put ahead of Phoenix? I would not put anyone else ahead of Phoenix. I wouldn't put an ascending Pelicans team ahead of them. Not this upcoming season. And by the way, I'm assuming that the teams, I'm saying, like, Lakers, Clippers, Nuggets, and Warriors are ahead of them. I don't know about that. I'm assuming. But the way the Suns were playing in the bubble, they didn't just get a little bit better on paper. They just took a quantum leap on paper, and they were undefeated in the bubble. And everything I'm saying assumes Ayton is the same guy. He's not going to get any better. But you know what happens to 22-year-olds after 2 years in the league? Especially with, look, DeAndre Ayton, whatever people think about his motor, it needs motivation. Chris Paul. Chris Paul ain't the fastest dude. He doesn't jump the highest. He doesn't have the most fast twitchies. He's not the tallest, one of the shortest. Not the physically strongest. I mean, he's strong, but Chris Paul just works harder than everybody else. Like, he wants it more. That's why he's one of the greatest of all time. He's an all-time great. So if he sees DeAndre Ayton slacking, Chris Paul's like, dude, I'm 6 feet and I'm going down in history. You're 7 feet and you're only good. You're the number one overall pick and 7 feet tall and you're only good. That's not going to cut it around Chris Paul. I can look, if Chris Paul doesn't break DeAndre Ayton, he's going to make him a whole lot better. So now imagine Ayton in year three as a really ascending player, and the place where he's ascending from is basically a 2010 guy at center. And now think about that team. Like, I'm saying the Nuggets and the Lakers, obviously, with LeBron and AD, and who else did I say? The Clippers and the Warriors. I'm saying they're going to be better than Suns. I don't know. I don't know that that's the case. The Suns now have two franchise players for sure, right? In Chris Paul and Devin Booker, maybe a third and Ayton, depending on his development. Let's see. And at least two or three more deep are like perfect complementary pieces. That was Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less, only at Walmart. Lamar Jackson, meantime, is ticked off as the scuffling Ravens struggle in a loss to the Patriots. Doing a national show is interesting because, like, I just hit the Phoenix market hard. See what I just did? We talked a lot about the Suns. But, of course, the NBA is just national. Like, it's not like baseball. You do care what happens in a
market. The storylines. The storylines.
And it's so much about the players. Like, in the NFL, it's about quarterbacks and coaches and some big personalities at corner or wide out or something like that. But the NBA, the teams are small enough where all the impact players really matter on a national level. So when we're talking about Chris Paul and Devin Booker and these guys, it's interesting to me in New York or L.A., and it's happening in Phoenix. But so we hit Phoenix just then. You see that, Raj? See what we did? Now we're talking Lamar Jackson. Already we're in Baltimore. We're in New England. Lamar Jackson has such a likable personality. You know, even the way he says, don't nobody like losing, right? Especially when we have a lot of... Even the way he says that, he's talking to the press, he's like, you don't want to lose. But he's doing it. Some characters in popular culture have a way about them that is... it's not like he needs to be cut slack for that comment. It was a good comment and delivered well. But some people get like, can be kind of annoying when they deliver that message, and others just remain likable. You can see why players on Lamar Jackson's team want to follow him. Just saying, hey, we have to regroup and everything. And I got to say something. They lost to the Patriots. Patriots are better than people realize because baseball is a GM's league. GM's most important guy in the franchise. Basketball is a stars league. Franchise player is the most important player, the person in the franchise. Football is a coach's league. It comes down to the head coach and the quarterback. Show me any combination where the head coach and the quarterback are excellent, and I'll show you a contending franchise. Show me where they don't have that, they're going to have a problem. The New England Patriots lost, you know, defections of top defensive players, high talent before the season started because of COVID. Lose Tom Brady. Lost Gronk already a year ago. During the season, no Gilmore. N'Keal Harry, who was a bust basically, but still you don't have even that guy. They don't have a lot of talent. Or rather, they're missing a lot of talent. It's not a talented team. And yet they have Bill Belichick, the greatest coach of all time, and Cam Newton, former MVP. And Bill Belichick, when given the tools, and Cam's the right kind of guy to have for a team that has no tools, right? Because he can make up for it with his legs. And he's not just fast, big and strong. So, and he's got a big arm, too, if it's not always totally accurate down the field. So, and Belichick raved about his competitiveness and his leadership before the season ever started. So, while you look at the Patriots like, what do the Patriots really have? And they have this bad losing record. Yeah, but they have the two things you need. They have a coach and they got a quarterback. And they have the coach at the highest possible level and the quarterback at a level where that's capable of reaching a very high level. A guy who's capable of reaching a very high level. So, like, I mentioned it throughout this show in recent weeks. They beat the Dolphins. They beat the Raiders. They came within one play of beating the Bills and the Seahawks. Right? And they just beat the Ravens. Guys, look at how capable the Patriots are of beating excellent teams. And by the way, the losses, the Chiefs, they were without Cam. Let me ask you something. Through the first half of that game, was that a winnable game for the Patriots? Patriots had nothing on offense, nothing on defense. Just because they have Bill Belichick, even without Cam Newton, they looked like they were in a position to beat the Chiefs. Then they had a call go against them. That was clearly the wrong call. And they wind up losing to the best team in football, the team that's going to win the Super Bowl, right? But meantime, that's without Cam Newton. Then Cam gets back after COVID at a time when really what Belichick needs is practice time. The facility's open, right? Because he doesn't have talent on the team and he didn't have his quarterback. And now Cam's getting over COVID. And right when COVID hits, so they can't practice, they lose to the Broncos, a game they really needed to win. Then they had another bad loss. I'm trying to remember what it was. Anyway, forget about even taking away those losses. It happens. You miss players for whatever reason, COVID or other reasons. They're two plays away. They're 4-5 right now. They're two plays away from being 6-3 with wins over the Dolphins, Raiders, and Ravens, who they've actually beaten. And the two close ones were the Bills and the Seahawks. They're good. So that's the team that Lamar Jackson just lost to. But Lamar almost never loses just to good teams. Lamar loses to the teams he has to beat. The Chiefs, the Steelers with Roethlisberger, and in the playoffs. That, to me, gives the Patriots even more credit. Lamar doesn't have a problem winning those kind of games. Especially you think, well, it's, you know, bad conditions on the field, so the Patriots want to run. Why, that's not good for the Ravens? It's also good for the Ravens, who have more talent than the Patriots. That's a huge win for the Patriots. Well, Lamar struggles against good teams and good defense. No, he doesn't. No, he's great against those teams. He struggles against the Chiefs, the Steelers, and in the playoffs. Before yesterday, he was 25-1 against everyone else. 25-1 against everyone else. 25-1! It's unheard of. Now he's 25-2. That was a huge win. Huge for the Patriots. They're 4-5 now, people. Patriots are 4-5 now. Have you checked out their schedule? Tell me when you hear a team that, well, now I have to get my Patriots schedule up on my trusty cell phone, Raj. Tell me when you hear a team that you know is just going to bury the Patriots. They're going to lose this game, okay? This is coming up. Texans, should the Patriots win or lose? Favorites or underdogs there, Raj?
Where's the game?
You have to ask where the game is? At Texas.
Yeah. Oh, well, then I would say the Patriots a 2-point favorite.
Okay. If they win that game, which they're supposed to, they could use it's the NFL, they could lose. They're 5-5. Just like that, they're a 500 team. Next right. week is against Arizona. Well, you favor Arizona, right? By the way, FBI chance, there it is. It's up on ESPN Plus right now. 51%. 51% at Texans. They're a 50-50 proposition because they're at home against Arizona. By the way, well, Arizona should beat them. Again, look at the quality of the Patriots' wins. The Dolphins, the Raiders, and the Ravens, those are actual wins. The Seahawks and the Bills were one play away from being wins. Those are top teams. The bad losses, I mentioned it. Oh, it was the Niners. After COVID, Cam gets COVID, he misses the Chiefs game, they lose, but it's highly competitive. It winds up being 26-10. I mean, they had a bad call to go against it. It's the Chiefs. Halfway through that game, you're like, damn, are the Patriots going to mess around and beat the Chiefs without Cam Newton even? Then they lose to the Broncos. Cam's just getting back from COVID, and the facilities were closed down all week. Remember that? Right in the middle of October. Well, if you don't have any talent, and Belichick needs to coach you up, you need the facilities open. And then they lose bad to the Niners. Then they barely lose to the Bills, almost won, beat the Jets, and beat the Ravens. I'm just saying, they're capable. They have quality wins. The Raiders are Stephen A.'s sleeper pick. The Dolphins are mine to win the Super Bowl. Like, if you have to pick a sleeper team out of the AFC, those are our sleeper picks on First Take. And the Ravens, just good. So, could they beat the Arizona? FPI give them a 50-50 chance. But the answer is yes, they could beat them, whatever FPI says. We've seen them beat really good teams. And by the way, I like Arizona a lot. Chandler Jones out for the year, right? They're playing without him. Patrick Peterson's talking about he can move to safety, right? When one of the elite corners said, well, I could be a safety, it tells you some things you need to know, right, about where they are in their career. Still effective, but not what he once was. And by the way, Isaiah Simmons has not had the kind of rookie season I thought he'd have so far. So yeah, they could beat the Cardinals. And then the Chargers. Chargers could win that game too, but as you know, Chargers snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. I love Justin Herbert, but let's be honest. Next three games, you could turn around. The Pats might be 7-5. 7-5. With quality wins up and down the roster. Then they have the Rams. That's it. Rams are a really good team. You'd think the Patriots would have to win a low-scoring game against the Rams, right? You recall a team that may have beaten the Rams in a low-scoring game in the Super Bowl? You recall a coach who figured that one out? Then they got the Dolphins, the Bills, and the Jets. I don't see a single unwinnable game here for the Pats. Mm. Not a single one.
Remember that Arizona game against Arizona. It's in New England. That could be an ugly weather game. They could muck it up against the high-flying Cardinals. 50.
I think that's why FPI gives them a 50% chance. They're going to lose some of those games, but the Bills are going to lose some games too. And I think the Finns will too. Pats might be in the playoffs this year. It's not over yet. It's under 50-50 prop that they make the playoffs at this point. It ain't over yet. That's a huge win against the Ravens.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
See what the Lakers are up to? Schroeder. I'll tell you why that's a shrewder move than it might seem. Huh? Huh? Yes, it's pronounced Schroeder, everyone, even though a lot of people say Schroeder because that's the way it's spelled. Most annoying thing about having a very international league is the pronunciation of names.
Go cover
Remember when it turned out you had to say Sharday? I was like, what? Why does she spell it Sade if it's Sharday? Where's the R? What did I miss? Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join me on the Shell Penzoil Performance Line, and you can be reached. Sorry, you can be reached. I don't know how the hell you can be reached. I can be reached on the Shell Penzoil Performance Line at 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 729-3776. All right. Let me start you off this segment, Philadelphia, with your head coach's exchange with a host on WIP. Which host, who's he talking to, Raj? Do we know?
Yeah,
this
we
is
do.
Some good radio.
He was talking to Angelo. From Angelo, from WIP.
Gotcha.
Everyone knows Angelo. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Okay, here we go. Doug Peterson on WIP, and then I'm going to chime in. Go ahead.
Who do you blame the most for the Eagles' 10-point loss to the Giants? 72% coaching.
Interesting. Head coach of the Eagles, Doug Peterson. Hi, Doug.
Good morning, Angelo. Thanks for the lead-in. I appreciate that.
I'm sorry.
That was awesome.
I know.
That just puts me in a great mood today. Doug, already in a good mood. I appreciate it.
I kind of felt you probably wouldn't be in a good mood.
I hang up now?
No, please don't, Doug.
I'm feeling my obligation right now. If I hang up, I feel my obligation.
Doug, I fully understand.
I'm Angelo.
All right, what about, Doug?
I'm at myself. I'm at the way we played. And it's just, it frustrates me. It frustrates me to no end. And we have too much pride. And I have too much pride. These players have too much pride. We work our off during the week. It's frustrating. It is frustrating. And blame it on me all you want. I'll handle it with the players. You can blame it on me. I'm a big guy. I can handle it. That's fine. But this is... We're self-inflicting ourselves. We are killing ourselves. We're shooting ourselves in the foot. All those cliche little, statements is still showing up, and it's frustrating.
Shooting yourself in the foot, coach, like, I don't know, turning the ball over 13 times in Eagles territory in your first 8 games? Let's talk about Carson Wentz, everybody. By the way, one of the best follows on Twitter is... is it fake or angry WIP caller? That dude is hilarious. Like when Saquon was killing it as a rookie, he's like, why didn't we draft Saquon Barkley? Like as though they had the number 2 pick. Look, a couple weeks back, I said Wentz was not the reason the Eagles had lost, right? But that he needed to be the reason they win. And the Eagles coaching staff had the entire bye week, to address and correct the issues with Carson Wentz. So they were working on that. What do you think, Doug Peterson is sitting on his hands not talking to Wentz? By the way, even more fortunate for Wentz and the Eagles was the schedule offered them the 2-win New York Football Giants, who have a good defense. And I agree, Joe Judge is showing promise as a head coach. Still very early, but he's got those guys ready to play week in and week out. But still, it's a good way to right yourself against a 2-win team with a second-year quarterback who hasn't exactly been setting the league on fire in Daniel Jones. Anyway, I'm watching the game yesterday. It's the Giants game. I'm watching the game. In other words, not just on Red Zone. And Eagles' first possession. They're down 7-0, okay? Wentz has 3rd-and-3 from the Giants' 22. He's in the shotgun. And it's a quick wide receiver screen. He looks out at Rager. And he starts to throw, right? But he pulls it back. But he's locked on Rager. He still tries to make the throw. This is Carson Wentz. Throws, passes tipped away, of course, because the throw isn't there. And you know what I said to myself at that point? Uh-oh. Raj, I said, uh-oh. Carson Wentz is already not trusting what he sees. This is the issue with him. But he's trying to force the throw. And you know what the problem was? It's only the first series of the game. First series of the game, he's forcing things. So they're coming off a bye. They did not get this fixed. I thought this is going to be a long day for Carson Wentz because you know it's a point of emphasis with the coaching staff and Wentz. Wentz has too much power on this team. Let me tell you what I'm hearing. Wentz has too much power on the team. He's a direct line to the owner. That's why he's not held accountable. He's not running Peterson's offense is what I have heard from more than one person. Might be wrong, but this is what I hear. Donovan McNabb was once benched, middle of the season, benched. He was held accountable. You know what happened? They wound up playing one game, benched for one game, McNabb was. He wound up leading the team to the NFC Championship game that year. I forgot what year, but, you know. Got to hold Wentz accountable. I'm not saying Jalen Hurts can do anything. He's not good. But they thought he might be, which is why they drafted him second. Let me tell you how complete and shocking the level of regression for Carson Wentz truly is. And by the way, if you're listening in Philadelphia, like people who don't know Philly, I spent a lot of time in Philly in my life. People who don't know Philly think that the Philly fans are going to, some of them are going to be mad at me, but not the real Philly fans. The real Philly fans know exactly what I'm talking about. Though, why do you think Peterson has to come out on the radio and be like, I'm disgusted? Because in Philly, after that, you better be disgusted with yourself. You better be disgusted with yourself. I spent a lot of time in Philly in my life. I had a record deal at Rough House. I had friends in and out of Philly all the time. It's close to New York. Let me tell you something. The real Eagles fans are with me on this. In 2017, Wentz had the highest third down quarterback QB ranking in the entire league. You know what his third down ranking was? 123.7 on the money down. He was the absolute best in the NFL. Yesterday, against the 2-7 Giants team, they got a good defense, but it's a 2-7 team. How many third downs did Wentz complete when he was in the MVP talks before the injury, the year they won the Super Bowl? He had nothing to do with that, by the way. I mean, he put him in position to have home field, but he played zero playoff games. That was all Nick Foles. And the next year was all Nick Foles. And they were sub-500 when Foles took over the team. Let me just remind you. How many third down, but he led the league in on the money down. How many third down completions did Wentz have against the Giants, Raj, off the top of your head?
How many conversions?
How many times did he convert third down?
You got to do at least 5-6 of them. Come on.
What if I told you the answer was zero? Did he not complete a single, not have a single third down conversion, he didn't have a single third down completion.
Come on, man. You're making that up.
One of the best third down quarterbacks in the entire league, maybe the best, right? The best, according to the numbers, can't convert a single third down against a 2-7 team. Yeah. All I can tell you is they got to sit Carson Wentz down. If he's not accountable, by the way, he didn't play like a mistake-riddled game yesterday. That's a step in the right direction. But tell me one play where you're like, ooh, that was good. He didn't have any of those. But by the way, for Wentz nowadays, as long as he's not screwing up, you're like, okay, not bad. Do you know where his quarterback ranking places him out of 32 quarterbacks in the NFL, Raj?
I'll give him half. Come on, making all that money, you got to be about 15, 16.
Try 31st out of 32.
Damn.
He's almost dead last. And I don't think it's fixable at this point. You know what? I think, like, you look at Jay Cutler. People kept waiting for him to come around. It never happened. He wasn't that good. He had an upside. But they never fulfilled it. And this is year five. If this was year two. You know what his cap hit is next year, Raj? You know what Carson Wentz's cap hit is? Almost $35 million. His cap hit this year is almost 19. Next year, it's almost 35. It's a disaster. You know who's outplayed him twice? The Giants quarterback, Daniel Jones, who's not setting the world on fire either. You know who else has outplayed him? How many times has Carson Wentz posted a quarterback rating better than his opponent? Meaning it may be the starter, the backup, or a combination, just better than the team who opposed him. How many times this year has Carson Wentz posted a better quarterback rating than his opponent? How many times?
I would say maybe half.
And by the way, he's facing a lot of guys who are no good, like Washington.
Yeah,
NFC's.
Right,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, he's beaten his opponent in quarterback ranking as many times as he completed a third down pass yesterday.
No.
Zero. Zero. I don't know that this is fixable. And until he is accountable, it's definitely not fixable. Peterson got to sit him down. Philadelphia Eagles fans, you understand what I'm saying? I know. The fake Eagles fans don't know what I'm saying. The real Eagles fans do. And the fake Wentz fans from other markets who think they're Eagles fans, but they're not from Philly, they don't know what they're talking about either. I'm the voice of Philadelphia, Raj. The heart and soul. Not to mention of Chicago, Houston, Miami, New York, L.A.
Tell them about that joint.
All right. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. New sleeper team in the AFC? No doubts next.
Max, the podcast.
Drew Brees has multiple rib fractures, both sides of his chest, and a collapsed lung on the right side. Per Ed Werder of ESPN. You can follow him at Werder Ed ESPN. Wow. Multiple rib fractures on both sides of the chest and a collapsed lung. He may have to miss like a play or two. The NFL is the place where they shoot you up and throw you right back out there. It's such a brutal sport. You know what a stinger is? Remember, Raj, when doing Max and Marcellus would talk about stingers?
Mm-hmm.
I had a stinger, so I had to come out. A stinger is you get so hard, you have local temporary paralysis in a limb. Like, oh, I can't feel my arm. Can't move it. Come out for 5 minutes. Oh, yeah, I got it back. It's a rough sport. But Drew Brees, a collapsed lung, that's serious. And the like some neurological situation where you can't feel your arms, not serious, huh? Drew Brees, that collapsed lung. Raj, they have Super Bowl hopes.
Yeah.
Not to mention he has hopes to breathe for the rest of it. He'd like to breathe, too. Go ahead. Let's go.
They're going to get him out there, but you got to read that.
Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Gonna get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think of you.
No doubt.
All right, quick answers here. Let's see if we can get through a couple here. Not even the great Justin Herbert can overcome the Chargers curse.
Not this year. No doubt. Not this year. This year ain't gonna overcome the Chargers. I'd love to see Justin Herbert on the Dolphins. Could you imagine? Maybe I might even pick them to go. I'd maybe pick them to go to the Super Bowl with Herbert right now. Yeah. Although they ain't doing too bad with Tua, are they? What else you got, Raj?
Hey, now at 6-3, the Raiders are a sleeper AFC team.
Now, Stephen A. and I have been debating this the last 2 weeks. The day last week, and I think it was Friday and Monday, I like the Dolphins as my Super Bowl sleeper. He likes the Raiders. Pretty soon they won't be sleepers, though. Like, we picked them as sleepers at a time when people were saying, what about the Bills? No. We're not talking about teams everyone's talking about. Maybe they could do it. We're talking about sleepers. And people were out sleeping on the Raiders and the Dolphins. I like the Dolphins better. I like their defense more.
All right.
So that would be a Nasson or a no doubt? I don't remember. Right. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. All right. Max can name who won the Masters.
Justin Herbert.
All right, combo. Tiger won't win another major in his career.
Nah, son. He's going to win another major. It's golf, man. All you got to do is get hot for, a couple days. You're fine. Tiger win another one. That's it. That's the whole thing. Look at that. I knocked it right out like this. See, you can hear that? That's me snapping. Like, this is how I knocked it out.
You did it.
See what the Suns did? What about the Lakers? Max Kellerman Show.